Brothers and sisters, so I've only got about 29 minutes, and what I want to talk to you about is something which I think we need in this time and age. Something a little bit more therapeutic, something to take our minds away from the hustle and bustle and the hardships of life and the conflicts that we endure. You know, we've just been through 2.5 years of isolation and COVID and all of that stuff, and a lot of us have come out of it just a little bit different. We don't know what's happened to us. Some of us have gotten into mental illnesses and situations where we just don't feel right. And just coming together today, it makes you feel like you belong somewhere, you're relevant. There's a community for you. You've got brothers and sisters. What a beautiful network this is. I want you to look around, mashallah. You see stuff like this in Umrah or in Hajj, but we get to see it, alhamdulillah, over and over again. And I want you to remember this gathering, because what I'm about to talk to you about, inshallah, you're going to remember this gathering once again in the hereafter, after we pass away through this world. My brothers and sisters, what I want to talk to you about is this. I want to talk to you about desiring paradise. And before I talk to you about desiring paradise, before you think I'm just going to talk about its descriptions, I want to tell you this. In this world, there is also a paradise. And if you can find this paradise and live it here, you will also live the paradise in the hereafter, inshallah. These words are by the great scholar Ibn Taymiyyah, who said, "There is a paradise in this world. Whoever finds it will find it in the hereafter as well." You know, brothers and sisters, do you know people who just seem to smile and they always seem to be at peace no matter what happens to them? Do you know people like that? Wallahi, I know people like that. I know this brother. He's got a wife who is sick. She's in and out of hospital all the time. She's got heart problems. She's got heart surgery all the time. She's disabled. He's got like 8 different kids and none of them have jobs and they're struggling. They're also financially in poverty. And subhanAllah, yet wallahi, ever since I was a kid, I know he's about 60 years old now, 70. And I've always seen him smile and his family. And I've always wondered, what makes this person keep going? MashaAllah. There is something about these people that they found in this world. You can take away everything from them and there is still something so valuable as if they own the whole world. You know, there are some people, they find distractions in this world. They have to go and do something in order to forget, or they take up a hobby, which is a good thing. But in order to forget, there's a difference with somebody who takes on a hobby or does something because they want to develop their life or they want to enjoy their life, or they like, you know, they love to just reinvent themselves and so on. And people who do it because if they don't do it, they're going to fall into misery or they're going to fall into depression or walayadu billah, something even worse, hurt themselves so that they'll keep themselves distracted. I heard this Hollywood director, I think it's director or producer, Woody Allen. Woody Allen, he once made a little talk when he was standing like the way I'm standing here, and he was saying, you know, I'm getting to this American accent now, you know, we make these Hollywood movies because we don't know why we're here, and you don't want to sit on the, I hope I'm doing it right, Omar Suleiman will probably get me back later. He said, you know, then you think about why am I here and where am I going, what's my life all about? So we make these movies to distract you and take your mind away off this. And everybody clapped for him. Now I'm thinking, subhanAllah, you know, there's something that lives inside of our hearts that you can find with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can take away anything from that person and they'll still be at peace. Remember that scholar that I told you about, Ibn Taymiyyah, who said this quote, 11th century scholar. He was in prison because he was oppressed and his enemies put him into prison because he spoke the truth. And he used to say, what are my enemies trying to do? My paradise is inside my heart wherever I go. He said, if you imprison me, it is my seclusion with my Lord. If you exile me, I am on a tour. I'm on tourism with my Lord. If you kill me, I'm a martyr and I reunite with my Lord. It doesn't mean you can do anything to me. Something about these special people, no matter what you do to them, alhamdulillah, they'll still keep going. And this is what we want to reach, brothers and sisters, where whether you make wealth or you don't make wealth, alhamdulillah, you're still wealthy on the inside. Whether things work for you or don't work for you, you're still wealthy on the inside. People take away, people die from your family or they live. You've still got that inner peace and that purpose which you're living for. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he died. And we all know the story of when Abu Bakr stood up and all the other companions and everyone were crying and they said, there's no point in living on if the Messenger of God is gone. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and said, whoever used to worship Muhammad, then he has died. And whoever worshipped Allah, Allah is everlasting and living. He will never leave you. And they all woke up. You see, brothers and sisters, you'll always have Allah. And he has put you here for a reason, and you are born not out of mistake. You are deliberately put here, and there is a purpose for you, and you have come from somewhere. You live here because of something, and you're going somewhere. We came from Allah. It is a time of a little test and trial, and then hereafter, then you either have, then your reward comes. And what we want is paradise, inshaAllah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about paradise and talks about the hereafter, he doesn't just talk to men. The verses of the Quran, when they first revealed, they were always addressing the men all the time. The men, the men, the men, whoever does this and whoever does that. And a lot of the people who don't know the Arabic language, even at that time, they thought it was just addressing men. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses crowds and he uses the masculine term in Arabic, it can either mean only addressing men, but it can also mean addressing both men and women in crowds. But anyway, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umm Salama, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, we want something for the women too. It's always addressing men." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the following verse.
Innal muslimina wal muslimati wal mu'minina wal mu'minati wal qanitina wal qanitati والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse which we recite till now, addressing both men and women in the same way, and he said, surely the men who submit to Allah and the women who submit to Allah, the men who have faith and the women who have faith, the men who are obedient and the women who are obedient to Allah, the men who are truthful and the women who are truthful, the men who are steadfast and the women who are steadfast, meaning you continue to stay steadfast on the deen and on the right and you don't give up. The men who humble themselves to Allah and the women who humble themselves to Allah, the men who give alms and the women who gives alms, charity. The men who fast and the women who fast, the men who guard their chastity and the women who guard their chastity. The men who remember Allah much and the women who remember Allah much, for them Allah has prepared forgiveness and a mighty reward. My dear brothers and sisters, Islam looks at you equally, both men and women. Men need women, women need men, husband needs their wife, and wives need their husbands. There's no such thing as each one being independent from the other. And we both need to help each other in reaching paradise. And every time I do a marriage, I'm a marriage celebrant in Australia, every time I do a marriage, I say to them, you are both gifts to one another. And you can create your marriage as a pathway to paradise. Brothers and sisters, anything in your life, you can turn it into a pathway to paradise. I swear by Allah, and it might seem trivial if I say this, teach your children this. You know, when they go to the toilet, you're going to the toilet to relieve yourself. And when you talk about toilets, some people feel, oh, it's not really a nice topic. But even when you're going to the toilet to relieve yourself and you practice the sunnah, for example, you enter with your left foot and you say, A'udhu billahi minal khubthi wal khaba'ith, and then you practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stay clean, clean yourself and come out. That in itself, if you make the intention for the sake of Allah, because you want to do the way that your Prophet taught you, it is a pathway to paradise. Subhanallah. And I want to show you, brothers and sisters, that in this life, the pathway to paradise is not as hard as what we think. But we make it hard in here. For example, when we want to pray our five daily prayers, the shaitan comes to you and says, oh, man, you got to go and make wudu. Wudu. It sounds long because of the woe. But when you go to make wudu, how long does it take? One minute. Then he says, salat. Come on, he just did it before. Salat. Put the timer on. Put the timer. Has anyone put the timer on for salat? How long did it take? 4 minutes. 4 minutes for a nice prayer. Some people, they rush it. And you know what I say to them? Brother, sister, don't rush your prayer. He goes, come on, I've got other things to do. I say, listen, the difference literally between you rushing it that much and making it a really good prayer, literally, is about 1 minute. It takes longer than that to walk to the kitchen, have a drink of water and come back. It takes longer than that than to scroll through your TikToks and everything. And by the time you're done, you think, oh my God, an hour is gone, isn't it? But when you do your salat, literally 4 minutes. So when you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, add one more. Say it a bit slower. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Just stay about 5 seconds standing a little bit more. Only 5 seconds. When you go to sujood, add another 5 seconds. When you sit, add another 2 seconds. See those little seconds? By the end of it, it's 1 minute difference between a prayer that was valid and invalid. Wudu, you're just splashing water. Just think like, I'm splashing water over my hands and face. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? But subhanAllah, in our heads, it's such a burden. Subhanallah. I know that Fajr and Asr could be a burden, and Isha. But brothers and sisters, you know what? When you think about it, nothing's going to happen to you. You're actually developing yourself and you're creating a purpose for yourself. You know why you're living here and you've got a purpose beyond just going to work and coming back, beyond just, you know, cleaning and cooking and dressing up and going to school. You've got a bigger purpose than that. Way bigger. And you can turn everything. And I'm not telling brothers and sisters to sit back and do nothing except to work for paradise, pray and fast and that's it. This is a wrong mentality. Everything we do in this life, and you develop yourself and help the community and contribute into society and everything in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every one of you can turn it into a pathway to paradise. Brothers and sisters, every single one of you here is relevant and important. Subhanallah. You know what, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Sometimes you will influence and help somebody with one little word or action that you did. And you might not think you've done much, but something about you will change their lives. Sometimes you go through a hardship in your life and it's like a school for you and it trains you to become a better person. It trains you to become a wiser person. And then suddenly you see people who have been affected by the same thing that you were affected by, but you are able to help them more than anyone else. You know what that is? I'll tell you something. There are people who take it as bad luck or misfortune, or as if God is angry with them, or they think that their life is just miserable. Why am I going? You can think that way if you like. You can go ahead and think as much as you like that way, but you're really just destroying yourself. Or you can think in another way. You can say, you know what? I think God is choosing me for something. I'm being chosen. I'm being prepared. What is it? Just hold on and you'll see that something amazing is going to come out of you. That's why people, they become amazing people. That's why artists, for example, they say, I became an amazing artist out of grief. I came out of grief, and then they become these social media celebrities, and there's other people who become something amazing that they help other people in the millions because of a tragedy that happened to them. Let's say, for example, somebody loses their child, God forbid, and what happens after that? Some of them, they say, well, you know, they got run over or whatever, and then they go on a campaign to help other people and how to make the streets safer. Some other people, they lose them to a certain particular disease or sickness. They end up becoming doctors, or they do a research in a particular area to find a cure for that disease. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways, brothers and sisters, but your mindset has to be right. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith al-Qudsi, which Allah says, "Ana 'inda husni dhanni 'abdi bi." I am the way my servant thinks about me in a positive way. So think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a positive way. There's only good that's going to come out of it. Brothers and sisters, every one of you is important. Your paradise in this world is your pathway to the paradise in the hereafter. And you can turn anything into a paradise, inshallah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just put us here in this world. We're not just here for no reason. It's not, you know, foolishly just to play games. We certainly came from somewhere. And our faculties and our mind, our inner conscience tells us we truly are going somewhere. That's why you ask the question, why am I here? Who is God? Who made me? Where am I going? Do you think there is a life after death? These questions in themselves are innate. I don't mean it the UK way, in it. Is that what you say, in it? So innate, I-N-N-A-T-E, within you. Human nature makes you ask this question. My little daughter once, when she was about 3 years old, she said, Baba, I want a ladder. 3 years old, she wants a ladder. So what do you want the ladder for? She goes, I want to go up to God, Allah, and I want to hug Him. Told you, brothers, sisters, there, something else. I swear, if I can say so many sentences right now and make them say, ah, a million times. I'm not going to do it. We'll do it another time, inshallah. But I can do it. Just a hint for brothers that you can also do that with your wives and your daughters, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, my little daughter says, I want a ladder to go and hug Allah. I said, there you go again. All right, come on. I'll tell Ali Dawa, I swear. Do a refutation. Brothers and sisters, she said to me, when she said this to me, I said, Baba, you can't go up to Allah right now because you can't reach Him. She goes, but I want to get there. Can I get to the clouds? Allah's not in the clouds, Baba. She goes, but how then? How do I hug Him? Because I love Him. I said, hug me. So she hugged me. I go, why did you hug me? She goes, because I love you. I go, all right, I love you too. I go, the way that you hug Allah, I'm speaking her language, okay? Don't anyone go up to me and tell some other speaker, look what he said, a kufr word or something. So my daughter, I said to her, the way you hug Allah in her language is that you pray to Him. That's the way you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now. And she goes, is that why we do this? I said, yeah, that's why we do that. Yeah, Allah, let it go. Subhanallah, the way to connect to Allah in this life is there. Are we going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really again? Yes, we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just going to leave it like that without you seeing Him and meeting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to show you Himself. He's going to speak to you. And how did I know this? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't know this without the messengers of prophets. You will see Allah and Allah will see you. And you will talk to Allah and Allah will talk to you individually and intimately according to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The hadiths are in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, Sunan Abu Dawood. The hadiths are many, many, many authentic hadiths that say the same thing. In fact, it's also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, faces will be glooming, bright and shining with happiness, looking at their Lord, looking at their Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told his companions, there isn't any one of you except that they will see their Lord Allah. Just like the way nobody has any problems, no matter where you are, from seeing the full moon. Doesn't mean Allah looks like a full moon. A'udhu billah, laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing like Him. But you know how everybody can see the moon from any direction, from any place? Meaning that there are no obstacles. You will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will speak to every one of you in paradise without an interpreter or without a translator. You'll be able to understand Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the conversations you'll have with Him is that He will say to you, do you remember when in secret you were in such a place and you did such a thing and nobody knew about it? And you'll say, yes, Ya Rab. But isn't that why I'm in paradise? Because you forgave me? And Allah will say, yes. Not only did I forgive you, it was a secret and I kept it a secret because you were ashamed. And you were ashamed and I forgave it for you because you made it up with other good deeds. Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds wipe away bad deeds. You want to enter paradise? Here is one key. If you are suffering from something that you're doing and you feel ashamed about it, that's a good thing. But don't let it get you into a mental illness. Because Allah says to you, listen, follow it up with a good deed. It'll wipe it away every single time until you are strong enough and you can leave it, inshallah. Keep doing good deeds after. This is not a green card telling you to go and do bad deeds and feel proud of it. I know some young people, this is what they do. Instead of trying to follow up a bad deed with a good deed or trying to keep it a secret, they try to take care of their mental state by what? By sharing it with everyone else, telling everyone what they did. But subhanAllah, you know, people are judging you. People talk about you. And it's going to be even worse for you. And you give people ideas of the wrong that they're doing. And you normalize it. That's why social media at the moment is causing so many mental problems. People, they expose their bad deeds and everyone's normalizing what used to be immoral, and people just say, well, because everybody else is doing it. Brothers and sisters, paradise is not reached that way. Paradise is not just by wishing and hoping. I want to go to paradise because I love God. But everything I'm doing is against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Can you imagine a husband telling his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, but there's nothing that proves that love? Or a wife says, I love you, I love you, I love you, my intentions are good, but it's never really, you don't carry it out. There's nothing that shows that there's appreciation or gratitude. There's nothing like that. You're not going to believe that person. It's not enough just to say, I wish for something. We have to work for it, inshallah. One sister today, she asked me from Australia, says, brother, doesn't Allah know my intentions? Isn't that enough? Why do I have to ask Him? Why do I have to make dua to Him? I said, well, if you've got a child and the child says to you, mum, you know my intentions, I love you, but never does anything to show that love. Doesn't it different when they say, I love you, mum. I want to help you out, mum, because I love you. Your husband says that to you, I love you. Doesn't it make a huge difference? You see, to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through that way. That's the paradise in earth. My brothers and sisters in Islam, some people, they say to me, man, paradise, isn't it going to be boring up there? You can just stay there and stay there and stay there and be boring. And I just look at these people and I think, man, paradise is not the same as the way you think here in this life. There is no boredom in paradise. But how? It's just how it is. The God who created you in this world and created boredom is the one who takes away boredom in paradise. And then they just go, look, I don't get it. I said, listen, here's the thing. You know how you've got a palace up there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written a palace and a place for you. They go, oh, really? I said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everybody has a place in paradise. But you either earn it or you lose it. I said, how about you give me your place, all right? And I'll just take it and you can go wherever else you want. They go, no, I want my place. I said, well, then work for it and stop asking these silly questions. One other person said, brother, I want to visit you in paradise. I said, that's fine, but for the first 7 years I'll have do not disturb. Don't disturb me for 70 years. I want to enjoy it a little bit. Subhanallah. Imagine that you can visit anyone you ever wanted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people of the past. You can, and you know what? When you go into paradise, you don't go alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Do you know what that verse means? It's one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite verses. It says, and those who believed and followed the right path, and then they died, and their offspring, their children, their family, they also follow in that same path, and they die. Allah says, in paradise, we will reunite them all back together, all their families and their children. And then he says, and we will not bring anyone downwards, we'll take everyone else upwards. What does that mean? The ulama said, it means that let's say if your parents ended up in a higher place in paradise and you're somewhere at the bottom, but you don't deserve a higher place. Just because of your parents that they want to see you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of bringing them down, he will just lift you up for free and take you up to them in a higher place. Or the other way around. You see, part of the beauty of paradise is that you get to see your loved ones again. You get to live with them again. One old man, there's a story about him that they buried his wife. He was about 70 years old. And he was crying and stuff. And, you know, a sheikh came up to him and said, oh, don't cry, inshallah. You know, you're believers, you will meet your wife again in paradise. And then he started crying more. Why? He says, bro, I've had enough for 70 years. I'm going to live with her for eternity. No, but seriously, that's not a good joke. You know what I mean, right? We can reverse it, say the wife cried. Brothers and sisters, the point is, in Jannah, this is the thing. The Shaykh said to him, ya Shaykh, old man, you know, when you go into paradise, you're going to get this beautiful, amazing woman who will come and join you. He goes, young? He goes, yes, young. He says, beautiful, you will love her. He goes, that's what I want. I want to live with her eternity. He goes, that will be your wife. But you will not see her the same way that she was here. And Allah says in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِم مِّنْ غِلْ. We will take away all the negativities out of the chests of people. In this life, everything that is negative is only in hellfire. Everything that is positive is left to paradise. I'll give you an example. You know, in this life, there's good things and bad things. There's things that you enjoy, things that you don't enjoy. Let's say, for example, something very trivial, like an ice cream. You like ice cream? Who likes ice cream? Chocolate? Vanilla? Yeah, sorbet? Go for sorbet? Yogurt? You're nodding to everything, Habibi. All right. So whatever flavor you like, right? You love it. You lick it. You love it the first time, second time, third time. But then you get sick of it, right? How much ice cream are you going to have? Right? You get sick of it, but in the beginning you love it. That first part, you will enjoy all the food in paradise, and that first sensation will always be the same. It's like it's always new again, new again, new again, new again. And everything that is miserable, that last sensation is all in hellfire, but multiply it by a billion times. And in paradise, multiply the positive by a billion times. That's how it is. That's why Allah gives us a bit of the taste of goodness in this life and a bit of the taste of badness to tell us, well, in paradise there's even more. You like it? Keep going. I'm going to give you more in paradise. You hate it? Be careful. Don't go into hellfire. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and you know, it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy this life. You can be rich. In fact, I advise a lot of our brothers and sisters, if you can become an entrepreneur or you can do some kind of a job, doesn't have to be entrepreneur, you study, you get nice money, a nice income, go for it. A strong believer is better than a weak believer, and money is strength as well. Skills are strength, knowledge is strength. You know how some Muslims they go a little bit overboard? You know, have you ever heard when they come and tell you, It's like if any Muslim, they see any Muslim driving a nice car, who's got a nice house, they go, haram. It's like Muslims not allowed to have money, not allowed to have a nice car. Tell a little story. Once when I was about 21, I used to import cars from Japan. You know, the Skylines and the, you know, the R33s and everything. Brothers, R33, R34s. Yeah, I used to import all these nice cars. And anyway, I parked one of them outside the mosque one day, my local mosque. And it had some shiny mag wheels on it, some shiny rims. I was about to sell it, I was going to get married and stuff. So after I finished Zuhur, I'm coming out and I see this little guy. He was actually short, sorry, I'm not demeaning him. And in a nice way. And you know, he's sitting outside and he's just watching everybody coming in and out and judging everyone. And I said, here we go, we've got one of those guys now. So I'm thinking, should I go out now or wait for him to go? Because when he sees me walk into the car, I'm finished. Anyway, I went outside and as I'm walking to the car, I said, yes, I'm getting out of it. I'm nearly there. Suddenly, he just calls out from the back. He goes, dunya, dunya. I go, oh, far out, man. I look back, I say, brother, you know, I just bought these wheels to sell it. And he goes, more dunya. Oh, man. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with it. Allah says in the Quran, قل من حرم زينة الله لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة. Say, who is it? God says in the Quran, say, who is it that forbid his believers from enjoying the luxuries and the provision which God had given them? Say, it is all yours in this world and in the hereafter. I will not take away anything from you. However, stay with taqwa. Prevent yourself from letting the dunya enter into your heart instead of the hereafter. Meaning, if that wealth, that car, that money, that whatever it is that you are enjoying takes you away from your obligations towards your deen and the hereafter, it means that you have chosen this world on top of the hereafter. And that's when you've lost the hereafter. But if your hereafter comes first, then inshallah you can enjoy anything you like. And one way you can do that is when you see somebody's got wealth or money or a car, say tabarakallah and genuinely feel happy for them. Say it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you even better if you want it, inshallah, if it is good for you. But rather say, oh Allah, if wealth is good for me, then give it to me. If it's not good for me for my hereafter, then give me something else that is better for me. Brothers and sisters, I end it with this, inshallah. Remember when I told you that in paradise, you get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people, they say to me, well, should I be working and praying to Allah because I want paradise? Isn't that a bit selfish? What about God? I say, listen, that's all cute and everything, but really, the truth is, we really do want to have the provision of Allah. All of us enjoy a luxurious life and this beauty that is everlasting. And Allah says, I will give it to you. I know, I created you that way. But the reason why we want paradise is not only to enjoy it, but also to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate goal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, just give me 3 minutes. إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ نَادَى مُنَادٍ. When the people of paradise enter paradise, a caller calls out. So they are angels who call out. And by the way, angels, there are some of them who sing as you enter paradise. Can you imagine a heavenly voice that when you enter, oh, and sweeps you off your feet? He says, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, O people of paradise, Inna lakum inda Allahi maw'ida. You have an appointment and a promise with your Lord. Yuridu أَنْ يُنْجِزَكُمُوهُ. Allah wants to now fulfill this promise for you. فَيَقُولُونَ. They will say, مَا هُوَ. What is it? And by the way, these people are already in paradise. They're enjoying their palaces, their fruit, their luxuries, their spouses, their everything, right? And they've forgotten that there is God here. And he says, Allah has promised you something. And they say, what is it? They say, hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already made us beautiful? Has he already not saved us from the fire? Has he already not entered us into paradise and given us beyond what even our minds could have ever imagined? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will release something called a hijab, a veil. And when he releases that veil, Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. The veil is taken away. فَيَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And they all look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْطَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا أَقَرُّ لِأَعْيُنِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by God, I swear that on that day when they see Allah, they will then realize that Allah has not given them anything more beautiful, all of Jannah and everything that's in it, more enjoyable to their eyes and their heart than the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gives their eyes the best taste after they had seen all the taste in paradise. After they've witnessed everything, they forget paradise and they only remember Allah. And then Allah says to them, are you pleased? هَلْ رَضِيْتُمْ Are you happy? Are you pleased? I will give you more. Wish. And we begin to wish. Allah says, wish more. تَمَنَّ 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 Anything you want, I will give you. Until you run out of ideas. Another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, then Allah gives you ideas. What about this? What about that? Then the angels come along and say, hey, I've got some ideas. Come, come, come. See that river over there? Do you want something like this? And you know what? What about this? And what about that? And you just go, yeah, I want everything. SubhanAllah. And then Allah says, how about this? My pleasure is bestowed upon you forever. Don't ever, ever assume that I will be displeased with you. Your past is your past. No one will judge you anymore. Nothing will be brought up. Enjoy for eternity. And this is the ultimate goal, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, it is our time to work for it. It's not very hard. And if you find it very hard, I'll leave you with this very simple advice, inshallah. Focus on the five pillars of Islam. Can you do that? Five daily prayers? Get on to it, inshallah. If you can do the Fajr and the Asr, the others will be easy, inshallah. Number two, try your best to stay away from the major sins. Go and find out what the major sins are. Zina, alcohol, stealing, theft, killing. Very easy. You can stay away from them. Don't do them. And if you do them, repent again and again and again. What? You've done it 100 times. Repent 100 times. And don't let yourself die on that sin. Don't ever say to yourself, I'm not worthy. Number three, make sure that your six pillars of Iman are right. To believe in Allah, not make any shirk, His angels, His books, His prophets and messengers, in the hereafter and in Qadr. What Allah has willed will happen. And if it does happen, don't sit there questioning why. Say, Qaddar Allahu wa masha'a fa'al. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward and say, Allah knows best. And finally, the minor sins that we all do. You look at something, you say something, you go and indulge in something haram or whatever. Just keep doing good deeds and they will automatically wipe them away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us paradise, ease our problems, give us the strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure our depression and our anxieties and our sicknesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum.
Have you ever wished that there was a Muslim version of YouTube or Netflix? Well, we have created one. The One Islam TV app has no adverts and is safe to browse for your peace of mind. Watch hundreds of high-quality produced Islamic reminders, Quran videos, stories of the prophets, hot topic, debates, and so much more. 4 to 8 new videos are uploaded daily, inshallah. You can watch or listen to videos while your device is switched off. Watch videos on demand or download videos and watch offline. One Islam TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means the small amount you pay for your subscription is a sadaqa jariya, continuous charity for you, as we use the funds raised to continue producing more beneficial videos and reminders, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. So you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 7-day trial. May Allah reward you for supporting our work.